Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally Olcordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. If you are looking at the artwork on this radio program, that was created by my friend Erwin Alber. Now, Erwin Alber is the originator of the Vaccination Information Network, and he will be calling in shortly. That's half the reason I'm calling this the best show on vaccines ever. And the other half of the reason I'm calling it the best show on vaccines ever is because Dr. Vera Scheidner, the world's foremost authority on cot death and sudden infant death syndrome and every other issue regarding vaccines, she will be calling in as well. Now, I had asked her on the last program if she would answer questions from my friends, basically. I said, these will not be unknowledgeable people who are asking you questions. These will be very knowledgeable people. And, of course, Erwin Alber is a perfect example of a really knowledgeable person who will be asking her questions. Now, mind you, it is 8 in the morning where Dr. Scheidner is and 5 in the morning where Erwin Alber is. So I feel unreasonable even in asking these anybody to get up that early, let alone people that I respect. But what can I do? I have a certain hour that I cannot do shows beyond, and it just kind of doesn't work out with their schedules halfway across the world. So they haven't called in yet, and I am hoping they are awake. I don't have a way, to set an alarm or to, say time to get up, but it certainly would be great if they would call in. Okay, well, so much has happened since I even spoke with Dr. Vera Scheidner last. She had made a comment that really has taken the world by storm, and I really want some clarifications on it because I was responding to her as she was speaking, and it's always good just to let Dr. Scheidner speak uninterrupted because I think it would have been clearer. But the upshot of it all is that 1 in 10 children is dying in the United States, infants, through the first year of life. And I looked up the CDC recommended schedule, and of the 74 doses they are currently recommending for children through the age of 18, 37, exactly half, are given through 12 months. And that starts with 4 doses in the womb, that's the flu shot, and the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. So that's 4 doses. And then the other 33 doses are given in the first year of life. So this is, a prescription for disaster. And Dale Bigtree of Vaxxed just came out with a meme that says, we have more one-day infant deaths than every other industrialized nation in the world. So we have more than every other? Is it combined? I'm beginning to wonder. So Dr. Vera Scheidner had said that basically 10% of our infants are dying. This is such an alarm. If you don't know what to be alarmed at, this would be exactly what you would need to be alarmed at. But what's interesting is, I believe she was, this is one of the clarifications I want from her, she was working off of statistics that came out in 2009. Why is this important? Because Australia had a 15% rate of infant mortality, infant death, okay? Now, since then, Australia has stopped giving flu shots to children under 5, and the United States is recommending flu shots for children under 5. And if you live in New York, where we had it mandated to attend daycare through kindergarten, got it overturned, and now it's being appealed, but the CDC themselves recommends it. So What I'm saying is we may now be up to 15% and Australia down to 10%, but neither of these is in any way acceptable. If people told me that one in 100,000 children were dying in infancy, I would say, oh, terrible. We're talking one in 10, you know, or three in 20. So it's something that I really want to get into. Now, Erwin Alber, his website, Vaccination Information Network, he published an article that I will put in the comment area underneath. You know, when you open the link to this program, you scroll down to the comment area, and I can embellish it with articles and references for things that are discussed during this program. And he has just recently published an article saying that the only reason that, well, everybody knows that children cannot benefit from immunity other than natural immunity in their first year of life. I've heard Dr. Banks say through 3 years. But there is could be no benefit, certainly, during the first year of life other than mother's milk. So why are they giving 37 doses through 12 months, you know? And also, so they basically are vaccinating the infants to train the parents to succumb to this barbaric practice of injecting needles into infants. I mean, if there was nothing in the needles and you just stuck a kid, an infant, with that many needles, would you not be arrested, you know? So it also, I can't not mention this. One vaccine to a 6-pound infant is the equivalent to of 30 to 180-pound adults on the same day. So I don't know what to say. This is all so beyond belief. Now, I want to tell you, and I will put this link also either under the screen or in the comment area, the Department of Health and Human Services is calling for people to speak out. Well, you know, I don't know what to say to them other than if you don't want to be involved in a criminal enterprise, get up now and walk out of this building. That's what I'd like to say to them. That's really what it's come to, because the last letter I wrote to them, this is in the letter, they're calling for people to speak, and you have to fill in your name and your organization. I have almost 5,000 followers on my Sally O. Alcorti for Mayor Vaccine Free NYC page, so I don't know that that's an organization, but I certainly have people paying attention to what I'm saying and supporting it. So I don't know if I will be allowed to speak. But if I were to speak, and I have written to them before, I said, basically, you know what's in the vaccines, so, and you know it's poison, you know the diseases that result, and you know they're deadly. Maybe you don't know that the Nuremberg Code says don't do this. You know, turns out the Nuremberg Code is directly on their website, on the Department of Health and Human Services. So they do know that. They know everything. I'm wondering what exactly do they want us to speak about. They said that it's going to be vaccines, but what issue they have yet to determine as of the last time I looked at that. And I want everybody to look at it and decide, do you want to address and it's the National Vaccine Advisory Committee that you'll be addressing. Now, I've seen Tara McMillan address the National Vaccine Advisory Committee, and I was taken aback. She just let it rip. I have never seen so much truth and condemnation of their ignoring the children who are suffering. You know, I was just blown away by her, and I will put her speech to the NVAC in the commentary as well. Now, she has an autistic child, and her husband serves in the military and is being vaccinated constantly. So this is a grave concern for her. as it is to so many people who don't even know they should be concerned and that their children's problems are as devastating as they are. Now, I just came back from Philadelphia where I interviewed just one autism family member after the next coming out of the movie Vaxxed. And these are great interviews. I really hope you will attend to them. They were really good as well in New York previously. I've got, at this point, just so many interviews, probably 30, maybe more. But in any event, I am very concerned that my guests aren't getting in. I'm hoping they're not being prevented from getting in. People have told me in previous times they could hear me, but I don't see them coming up on the screen as calling in. Perhaps they're just sleeping in, and if you want the truth, I don't blame them. You know, they're not spring chickens. What am I doing getting them up at the crack of dawn? It's absolutely outrageous. But anyway, let me keep going. We had a lot of really good interviews there. Then they went on to D.C. And everybody who's listening, please do this. I, emailed my congresswoman asking her to go to the opening night last night. No, it wasn't the opening night, but it was the first Q&A session after the movie Vaxxed. And then I called today and I asked her to go today because there are two more Q&As post-vaxxed, and of course anytime through the 26th. So everybody who's listening to this, it may be too late for you to contact your congressperson and ask them to go to the screenings with the Q&As, but it is not too late for you to ask them to go and watch this film. The film Vaxxed is very powerful, and every parent that I speak to, basically they are relieved in the validation it is giving them, because so many, I've had many conversations with parents, and one of them to me, if my child had cancer, everybody would rally around us. Everybody would have compassion. People would open their pocketbooks seeing how much money they could give me to help my child. But because my child is vaccine injured, I am ridiculed, dismissed, treated like garbage, if not worse. And it is, they've played such a game. They've really, this game is, borders on torture, because I was speaking to a friend of mine saying she'd love to go to the Autism One conference, but she has nobody to watch her child, who is a grown child with autism. And so everything, your schedule, your life is not your own. And when we started the Vaccine Realities Tour back in 2009, I remember a group of parents listening to the parents who were speaking about their child before and after vaccination. And I could look their face and realize they're really not getting this. It's not hitting home. So I asked one of the autism mothers, I said, when's the last time you went to the movies? And she had been, up until that point, the most professional, the most composed, the most everything. But when I asked her when the last time she went to the movies was, she burst into tears. I did that because I thought, how are we going to reach these parents? Because they're listening to something that is somebody else's problem. But when a mother says, I haven't been to the movies or anywhere since this happened to my child, that got a reaction, big, big, big reaction. And all I can say is we're doing it for their benefit. Nobody will benefit who speaks. Everyone who listens will benefit if they take it seriously. So anyway, my phone is flashing. I have no idea what's going on here, but I continue to try to conduct this show. Anyway, I really wish Vera would call in and Irwin Alber, I was so looking forward to this show. You have no idea. Irwin published an article on the vaccinationinformationnetwork.com about their training parents to comply with vaccination by shoving all of those vaccines in the first year of life, and that they know, in fact, that they can have no benefit, even if they worked. That's the ludicrous part, even if they worked. So anyway, let's see what else. So they're still in D.C., the vax people, and it's just a wonderful rallying point. I don't think I've gotten the same interview from parents twice in terms of what really meant something to them. One woman said, why don't they have a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study? And I said, well, Representative Posey and Representative Carolyn Maloney had sponsored a bill for that purpose, and no other congressman supported it. Nobody else co-sponsored it to the floor for a vote. I'm pretty darn sure about that, because certainly we would have been ringing the phones off the hook on Capitol Hill had it. But no, you know, here was what I considered a modest attempt. That was a modest attempt. Let us do a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study. You know, it's already gone down. And again, Irwin on his website has the woman who did that study and her writings on it. But the bottom line is that vaccinated children had 2 to 5 times the chronic illness of the unvaccinated children. And this is the reason that nobody wants to do the study. Somebody's called in. Let us find out who. Hold on. Hi, this is Sally O'Cordy. Who's this?
Mr. Irwin here. Hi, Sally. How are you?
Oh, Irwin, thank you for calling in. I don't have Vera on the line, and I don't know why, but hopefully she will call in shortly. I was just speaking about your article regarding children not in infancy. They know that the children cannot benefit from immunization other than mother's milk, and yet they're giving 37 doses through 12 months, if you'd like to make a comment about that.
Yes, that's amazing. That there was a meeting, I think it was a chiropractic meeting, and at this meeting there was an immunologist, a lady immunologist, and the question came up, can babies or infants below the age of one process vaccines, meaning creating an immunity to the disease, and she said no, they can't. And then somebody in the audience said, well, you know, how come babies receive all these vaccines at their so-called child visits? And she says, it's to train parents to bring their babies in. Now, isn't that absolutely criminal?
Yes, and I just, you know, I thought it was more than a third of the entire schedule through the first year, but it's actually exactly half. 37 doses that they're trying to push in per the CDC recommended schedule between pregnancy and 12 months.
Yeah, my word for this is it's institutionalized insanity. It's absolutely bizarre and insane, you know.
Well, you know, I wrote to Vera and I said to her, the Department of Health and Human Services, and I don't know if you're on my email list, Irwin. Are you?
Yes, I'm sure I'm getting your emails, yeah.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
In one of my recent emails, I sent the link to the Department of Health and Human Services, and they're calling for people to speak about vaccination. And I also wrote to Vera and I said, you know, even though I have 5,000 followers, they want to know what organization you're with. Well, I'm not with an organization. This is the double-edged sword with organizations, so people who are listening realize If you're in a nonprofit organization, then you cannot be political. So if they want your organization, they're like, it's you know, a catch-22. Either you're in a nonprofit and you can't speak because you are, or you're not, and because you're not with an organization, you can't speak for that reason. You see, it's a catch-22 because this is political. There's nothing scientific about it. It's all politics.
Yes, yes. And they want to do, they do everything they can to prevent opposition to vaccination. They want to push this vaccination thing for all it's worth all the time.
Right, and I just want to be clear to the audience, even though I mentioned your name several times, we are talking now to Erwin Alber of the VaccinationInformationNetwork.com, and also Vine, V-I-N-E, is on Facebook as well.
That's right, yeah.
Well, I just want to give a shout-out with you, Erwin, right now, to three tremendous activists online who are being blocked or who have totally disappeared. Karen Johnston, where is she? Jack Colton, where is he? And Kara Taylor, I know for a fact, has been completely blocked.
How amazing. Yeah, it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really miss them, you know, because they helped me and get, you know, spread the word about a host of issues, and they are sorely missed.
Yes, I must check on Karen Johnson, because she's very active on my Vaccination Information Network on Facebook. She's one of my moderators or my editors, and so I must check in. I didn't know she was off Facebook.
Yeah, I haven't seen a post for a very long time, and you know, the last time this happened with her, I had gone through one of her friends in Australia, Catherine Scarborough. But I hate to keep prevailing upon third parties to communicate with people, you know. But anyway, so Erwin, which issue would you care to discuss today? Because Vera's not online quite yet, so.
Well, one big thing is the VAX documentary produced by Dr. Andrew Wakefield and filmmaker Daryl Bigtree. And it's now playing in cinemas across the United States. It's not available on DVD yet, but it's playing to packed houses all across the United States. It was scheduled to play at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York. And it was promoted by movie actor Robert De Niro, who has got an autistic son. And just before it was due to screen, it was pulled from the festival. The festival organizers came under pressure, and they had to pull it, or they decided to pull it. And so it didn't play at the Tribeca Festival. But because it was pulled and it made news headlines all across the place, people were wondering what do these people not want us to see? What's the story here? And so they all go to the cinemas, and it was actually really good publicity for the movie, which is about a CDC senior scientist who Mr. Thompson, and he came out, and he called a doctor called Dr. Hooker. And he said, look, I've got a confession to make. Myself and three co-workers at the CDC, we did the study in 2004 about the MMR vaccine and the possible link to vaccination. And we found there was a link, but then decided to cover it all up. And we destroyed documents and just swept the whole thing under the carpet. We didn't put the thing... We didn't release the finding that there is actually a connection between vaccines and autism, particularly in Black African boys. There's a huge increase, and they didn't publish that. And that was in 2004, and this CDC whistleblower, senior scientist, he was so plagued by his conscience that they did this. Even at the time, he actually decided to keep copies of everything. He didn't destroy what he had. And then maybe a year ago or so, that he came out with this confession, saying, yes, we did. I can't believe what we did, but we did. We covered it all up. And I'm so plagued by my conscience. Whenever I see an autistic child now, I'm so ridden by guilt that I have to tell you what we did. And he gave all the documents to this guy, Dr. Hooker. And Dr. Hooker went to a congressman called William Posey. His name is William Posey. And this William Posey, he testified before Congress, or he talked before Congress, saying, look, this whistleblower scientist from the CDC, he confessed to me that there was a cover-up in his vaccine, MMR vaccine autism study, and it needs to be looked into. Mr. Thompson needs to be subpoenaed in before Congress to give a testimony, and if ultimately the people who were involved in this cover-up should be prosecuted, because since 2004, when this study happened, and now there have been untold more autistic children caused by directly related to the MMR vaccine and vaccination in general, and these all are the direct result of this cover-up, because the thing should have been stopped right there and then.
Right, of course, it should have been stopped right there and then, and all of us have been calling our Congress people. I just made it another call today because I wrote her an email yesterday saying, please go to see the film. There's a Q&A afterwards. And then today I called and said there are two more today with a Q&A, and this is in the District of Columbia right now. And, of course, I went out to other people here in America to say, contact your Congress people and let them know it's running through the 26th. If they miss the Q&A, at least they'll see the film, you know, because
yes.
Books have been distributed. Vaccine, what is it called? Vaccine, by Kevin Barry, Vaccine Whistleblower. That book has been distributed to Congress. The film Silent Epidemic has been distributed to Congress. And these are very powerful tools, you know, and all of it has been ignored. And, you know, Erwin, if you were to go before the Department of Health and Human Services, what would you say to them?
Well, it's probably not printable or... Well, see, what gets me is that in Dr. Wakefield and Dale Victory, the filmmaker of Vax, they sort of come out, the solution to all this problem is to make safe vaccines. And I totally disagree, because by their very nature as chemical and biological agents, vaccines are unsafe. It's not possible to make a safe vaccine. So why waste your time? Even the U.S. Supreme Court has declared vaccines unavoidably unsafe in 2011, and they are. So why try to make something safe that's not possible to be made safe? What needs to happen is for the entire, as far as I'm concerned, I mean it's not going to happen, but as far as I'm concerned, the whole vaccine industry needs to be shut down as a matter of urgency, once and for all,
right,
to stop this medical abuse and medical fraud. It's been with us for over 200 years. It started in 1796. It's just this barbaric practice this English country doctor, Edward Jenner, came up with over 200 years ago. It was sort of like a superstition. And first it was sort of rejected by the medical community, and then eventually they realized there was money to be made, and they backed it, and then the British King backed it, and so it spread and became a fad, and from there we went, and it's been nothing but an absolute disaster and a failure from the very start, but it's been played up as a triumph of medical medicine because it's so profitable to keep this show on the road, to keep on the gravy train. And so here we are over 200 years later, and this fraud is still going on, and people, most parents, take their children in to be poisoned for profit, thinking they're immunizing them. and it's not true at all. It's just one big gigantic fraud, and it's absolutely incredible. Of course, not everybody knows that it's a fraud. Like doctors do it in good faith; it's they're protecting children. So it's a very evil thing. It's like a contagious mental illness that everybody is in the grip of, you know. And there you are.
Well, you know, for the listener, the common components in vaccines that they actually list on the CDC website are aluminum, formaldehyde, mercury, and MSG. But I just want to take this moment to say, if you can't think it can get any worse, you're so wrong. Because while they removed thimerosal, which is mercury, from one of the meningitis vaccines, they call that an adjuvant, something to move the beneficial, quote-unquote, materials through the adjuvants, right? Well, they took it out. Guess what they replaced it with? E. coli. So E. coli has become the new adjuvant in the new meningitis vaccine, in case you think it can't get any worse. And also, you know, they're using fetal tissues. Oh, you don't like that? You know, fetal tissues to grow the viruses on. If you don't like that, well, they've got something new for you. Human malignant cancer tumors. That's what they're growing them on now. So as bad as it is, you couldn't conceive it could be worse. Well, they can come up with remarkable things. You know, I'm agog of their ability to make it even more grotesque and disgusting.
Well, I can tell you that they're going to escalate this whole thing even further, according to some information. I'll give you the links later. They now invented a thing called synthetic DNA vaccines, and it's going to be introduced in a big way, from what I can tell. And it's going to replace all the ancient or the previous vaccine technology. And so they produce this synthetic DNA, and it hasn't got the antigen in anymore, you know, like the disease. It's synthetic DNA that's going to be introduced in the human cell, and in this human cell, supposedly prevents all diseases. So they can, even cancers and whatever they can program into the DNA, the synthetic DNA, they can put in there. And so it's going to revolutionize medicine, supposedly. And I tell you what, if anybody offers me one of these vaccines, I would run for the hills, because it's just going to, what it basically is, that they're going to re-engineer the human race. And it's all part of the sort of global genocide agenda, which is in full swing through various means, like vaccination and GMOs and chemtrails and fluoride and all that sort of stuff. And it's all sold as public health, you know, public health measures. And people don't realize that this wonderful thing that's supposed to prevent diseases, like vaccines, it's actually the opposite. They are designed, made, and used to promote ill health. I mean, why won't they want to prevent ill health when only sick people are profitable? You know, only sick people can make a profit for the medical pharmaceutical establishment. So what they do, these people are not stupid. They're just evil. They inject all these vaccines, all these chemicals and biological agents into babies to create customers for life, to promote ill health, which makes them come back for this and for that and for the other, like asthma, allergies, eczema, ear infections, and you name it, neurological disorders. And they just make customers for life, and it's wonderful for the vaccine, for the pharmaceutical industry, because without vaccinations, they would sort of grind down to a virtual halt, because people would be so much healthier without vaccines. But that's not what they're told. They're told if we don't vaccinate, all those horrible, deadly epidemics will come back, you know, and it's just absolute rubbish.
Right, and of course they're spraying for Zika right now, which is a farce. Zika has nothing to, you know, they're putting the DTaP vaccine in the pregnant women in Brazil, and the children are being born with encephaly, and they have small brains and heads, when they stop doing that, the children are not being born that way. So Zika, Shmika, they're just throwing mosquitoes in the mix to make it look like something, and now they can spray us with more poison. And that's what they're doing right here in New York City right now. And They convolute these things so dramatically and cleverly. They get everybody all confused when, in fact, these children are being born with small brains and small heads because they're being vaccinated while pregnant, you know? And this is what we're doing here. Now that we're doing it here, when the children are born with small heads, it must be the mosquito. Yeah, okay, right. So, yeah, they're spraying the wetlands currently, so they say, and, you know, just the wetlands. And all I can say is the last time they gave us a good dose of spraying for the West Nile virus, all these beautiful birds, and large ones, too, were on their backs dead, you know, and you can imagine what it was doing to the small children and to the elderly. So they just make it up as they go and make everything an excuse to poison us further. They're also upping the fluoride here in New York State. Yes, you really don't want to come to New York. I'm sorry to tell you, but this is, you know, it's a dense population, a large minority population. For example, New York City is the only place in New York State where they are determined to deny your religious exemption. They actually have, I understand, 6 full-time people who make 6-figure salaries who just exist to deny exemptions. They're calling it the Inquisition, and I think that that's well put, the religious exemption Inquisition, you know, and everybody's rejected, according to the people who help people get exemptions. Because it's tricky enough as it is, and they're saying that flat out nobody's getting them. So we're talking about an area of 8 million people, and they are targeting us.
They're out of control, totally out of control. And yet, we are the majority, but we haven't. They're in the positions of power where they can do those things. There's no accountability. And so here's your tax dollars at work. It's incredible. We are paying for being poisoned.
Right, exactly. In fact, we're paying for all kinds of studies to further experiment with us. You know, if people really understood where their tax dollars were going, they would be appalled. And these DNA-altering new vaccines, that's one of the things, you know, that we're paying for. There was something else. Oh, yes, I want to give a shout-out to a movie that the mainstream media said, oh, it's really not the best Bond film. I've never seen a Bond film come out to such derision and, oh, it's not worth the money. Oh, the other ones are better. It was called Spectre, which, of course, is the villain. So I thought, you know, I don't care what they say. If they're naming this after the villain in Bond, I'm going to see it. Well, lo and behold, wasn't it all about vaccines? And they use vaccines to alter your DNA. They use vaccines to track you. They use vaccines to kill you. And they use vaccines to torture you. Pretty much covers the gamut, don't you think?
Wow, that's amazing. That's, that's what they call like Hollywood is so like the movies they make, it's what's called predictive programming, so they get so, you know, people used to an idea that's going to come up in the future or is already being done. It's also brain part of the brainwashing.
Well, I for some reason I felt that this was not part of the Hollywood scene. I mean, perhaps in terms of predictive programming, but to have movie reviewers literally tell you don't see this movie, and then.
Yes.
When they do unearth, you know, when Spectre comes into the light, he's not evil to the core the way Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars is. He's a mealy-mouthed, jealous, he's just so unstrong. He's so unevil. He's just jealous. And I thought you could not have made a more weak and, you know, unattractive villain to the point where Bond, when he had the opportunity to shoot him actually didn't. He was just not even worthy of being shot. You know? And so that's why I say I'm not completely sure that Hollywood had their claws into this one.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah,
so,
talking about movies.
You have 5 more minutes, Irwin. I'm going to shut up and let you say anything you wish to say. So please do.
We're talking about videos. There's now quite a lot of video clips on mainly on Facebook or maybe YouTube, but they're playing on Facebook as well. And about Vaxxed, about this documentary Vaxxed by Dr. Andrew Wakefield and Del Bigtree. And there's one about Vaxxed in Compton. And if you go to my Facebook page, Vaccination Information Network, Vine, it's pinned to the top. It's at the very top. It says Compton, City of Compton Welcomes Vaxxed. And it's what happened after the movie. Shows all the people in the question and answering session. And I think the vaccine pushers have got a revolution on their hands, to judge by the people talking in this video. If you so go to my Facebook page, Vaccination Information Network, and watch the first item that's at the very top. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. Really well worth watching.
Well, I've been interviewing all the parents or all the families as they come out of the theater, and the word validated has come up just, you know, time and again. All these people saying, this movie validates what I've been saying.
Yes. Because just imagine all those people with autistic children. I think it's 1 in 50 now, and supposed to escalate to 1 in every 2 children becoming autistic by the year 2023, if the current increase continues the way it is. And just imagine all those parents with autistic children, hundreds of thousands of them, have always been told, no, there's no connection between vaccines and autism. It has been debunked, it has been disproved, and the person who started all this nonsense, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, he's been deregistered and discredited, and all the studies show that vaccines don't cause autism. And now this Dr. Wakefield has come back to haunt them with this documentary Vax, because it's just such a powerful, I haven't seen it myself, but from what I can see, it's such a powerful statement, and it, as you say, it really validates parents whose children have gone into developmental regression after vaccines and then become autistic, and if all that entails, which is horrific. You know, these children, depends on where they are on the spectrum, but the worst ones, they'll never have a job, they'll never get married, they'll never have children. And when their parents die, who's going to look after them? And it's just such a huge, huge tragedy. And the whole vaccination thing is a huge tragedy. It's a blight on our children. It's a crime against humankind. And people are so brainwashed that most of them take their babies in to get poisoned for profit, basically, and for population control. You know, it's just absolutely incredible. And people need to wake up. If we don't wake up en masse, we're going to reach a point of no return where there's going to be no hope for humanity at all. Because imagine a world in which every second child, particularly boys who are more affected, is going to be autistic. I mean, it's just going to be a mental asylum, you know? It's just... how is society going to function? Who's going to look after all those children? All the money put into healthcare, so-called, is going to be the whole thing is going to be bankrupted. It's just going to be absolutely chaos. You know.
I stopped at a rest stop on the way home from Philly, and it drew everybody waiting for their coffee. There were 200 people there. 6 of them were profoundly disabled. They were all children. There were elderly people there. There were every other age, but the 6 profoundly disabled were all children.
Mm. Yeah, it's just incredible. I mean, you know, I don't know if it'll ever come to where these people who push vaccines and make vaccines are held accountable, because they should all be in jail. You know, they should be locked up to keep the rest of us safe. But
thank you very much. I want to thank you, Erwin Albert of Vine, because we're about to get cut off. And